Where are we going? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So we're on week number 4 of this series, looking at what it means to be a disciple walking in the way of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The editors for my Bible here have inserted the heading, "Love is indispensable." And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give my body over to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is like a mirror. And we hold it up to ourselves and we see the truth. And often we see where we fall short. Lord, I thank you that you come not with condemnation, but you come with conviction to stir us to action. Lord, to draw us to yourself, to raise us up, that we might become, that we might be the people that you designed us to be. Lord, that we would learn to walk in your ways, that we would learn to be like you. Lord, as we remember that we were created in your image, that's the goal. That's our aim. To be with you, to be like you. Lord, would you encourage us? Would you speak to us now as we take time to look at your word and look at your ways? Work in us, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. By way of a quick recap, we looked at the fact that being a disciple, and we've lost the D off the edge of the page, something gone a bit screwy there. Being a disciple, not an isciple, being a disciple in Jesus' time, there were three main elements to that. Firstly, to be with the teacher, to be with the rabbi. Secondly, to become like them. Thirdly, to do as they would do. The disciples, or apprentices, the followers of Jesus, that was their goal. To be with Jesus, to become like him, and then ultimately to do as he did. They were practicing, living a way of life to learn to become like Jesus. We ask the question, what am I becoming? And from Romans chapter 12, it says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. We are all being changed, one way or another. Life has a habit of changing us, whether we want to or not. But in Romans it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does that happen? What transforms us? The habits, the things we do repeatedly, they change us. The relationships that we have with people around us, they change us. The stories that we listen to, the narratives that we believe, they change our way of thinking, they shape our way of thinking. Obviously, that all happens in an environment. Whether you live in the city, whether you live out in the countryside, the culture that you're a part of, which will change you and shape you. It doesn't happen instantly, it happens over time. And over the course of time, experiences happen to us. We have experiences, we do things, things happen to us. They all shape us and change us. So we looked at the fact that in order to be transformed, we need to be intentional in our practices, intentional in the things that we do. And we need to make sure that we are part of a community of Jesus followers, part of a community of people who are on the same track as us. We need to fill ourselves with the teachings of Jesus, with truth. What God says about us, not what other people say about us. What God says about what's important in life, not what Hollywood tells us is important. What God says the way we should do things, not what random politicians tell us. Again, that all happens over time. And we need to be open to the Holy Spirit. Saturated in the Holy Spirit, aware of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to change us. And we talked about the fact that often suffering shapes us, either for good or for bad. But in the place of suffering, we can say, Lord, please work in me, change me. So that pretty much covers what we've looked at over the last 3 weeks. I don't know about you, but my favourite time of the week generally is Friday, sometime between sort of 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, maybe a little bit later. I close the lid on my laptop and I know work is done for the week. It's finished. My work for the week is done. I close my laptop. I'll go downstairs, see how the rest of the household's getting on. Upstairs, freshen up, get changed. Sometimes it's a jacket and tie, sometimes it's an open neck shirt, occasionally even a tuxedo. And that for us marks the start of the weekend, the end of the working week, start of the weekend. We as a family have our main meal Friday evening. And there's a sense of ritual to it. We all dress up smart. Candles on the table. We have the nice cutlery out. It's our best meal of the week, generally speaking. We'll light the candles to remind us that Jesus is the light of the world and that we are the light of the world. We remind ourselves that God created everything we have. Everything around us. We remind ourselves that everything comes from Him. We'll enjoy our meal. We'll have communion together. We remind ourselves that Jesus died in our place. And He rose again. But He gives us His life. That for us really marks the practice of Sabbath. That we take time to stop and to rest. Just this morning, I wanted to think about spiritual disciplines, practices.
They're necessary for us because we need to change and we need to do things habitually
that change us to be more like Jesus, to walk in line with him.
If you go online and you can have a look at spiritual disciplines, or you'll come up with a multitude of different examples.
Today I want us just to very briefly look at what might be considered 9 basic categories that summarise spiritual disciplines. They're things that are taken from the life of Jesus as we look at Scripture. And as we look at the life of Jesus, we see he practiced certain things. He did. He had certain habits, certain ways of doing, certain ways of being.
Things that we can do
to promote our own spiritual growth.
So
we'll start with Sabbath.
Sabbath is a time to stop. It's a time to rest. It's a time to delight in God and the things that he's given us, the things that he's done for us. It's a time to enjoy.
It's a time to worship.
Prayer, we spoke about having a daily routine, a daily habit, a daily practice of spending time in prayer. Daily time to say, God, I'm focusing myself, I'm orienting myself towards you. To communicate with God, but also to commune with him, to spend time.
Possibly not such a popular one, fasting. From little,
we have it drummed into us that we need our 3 meals a day, 3 square meals every day. And if you don't,
problems.
But actually, we need times to remember that I don't just live by the rhythm of my stomach.
I don't live by a rhythm that's forced on me.
I don't live by a rhythm that I dictate. Sometimes I need to lay my desires and my wants aside. Give up food
so that I can give myself more fully, more intentionally to Jesus. Solitude is one that
some of us probably find easier than others.
With all of these,
as you go through and you think, some of those, yeah, I can do, that's easy, I can relate to that. Others, that's difficult. We can't just pick and choose the ones that seem to fit with our personality type. Solitude is great for the introverts. When we had the COVID lockdowns, there were people bemoaning the fact how awful it was that they couldn't go out and see everybody, couldn't mix, couldn't do things together. And some of us thought, the fact of not having to go into an office full of people, that I can just sit by myself for an entire day and work, that's bliss. Solitude is easy for some of us. For others of us,
not so much. But we need to take time to be quiet
and be with ourselves, and time to be with God. Generosity.
Giving of our money, giving of our resources,
giving of our time. It's very easy to be all about what I get, what I can. Getting me the best deal on this, getting me the best that,
get the best, get.
But the heart of God is that we learn to give. Possibly the most famous
well-known scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave.
We need to be people who can give. It's important that we spend time in scripture, and we spoke about that as well briefly. Immersing our mind in the Word of God. As we read the scriptures, we find God's opinion. We find what he wants to say. As we read scripture, we learn what God likes. We learn his ways. We see what he did. Moses said, didn't he, "Lord, teach me your ways so that I may know you." We need to be part of community. Doing life with other followers. Learning from loving friendships. We have to be intentional about that, because it doesn't just happen. Where we go, what we do, we make decisions about where we spend our time, who we meet with. We need to be intentional about making sure we can be impacted by, that we can learn from, a community of people that are also following Jesus. Service. About meeting other people's practical needs. There's a lot of overlap between these, and maybe they might not be totally in isolation from each other. But being in a place where we can serve the needs of others, particularly those who can't help themselves. That might take various shapes and forms, so that it's practically going and doing things. Maybe you can't go and do, but you can give money as a representative of your time. Money buys time in many senses. Money buys resources. But serving practical needs of others who need help. And the last one there, witness. Sharing the gospel of Jesus. And that doesn't just mean standing on a street corner and I think Candy shared a thing on WhatsApp this week, didn't she, about a street preacher who was being prosecuted. And yes, there's an element of sharing the gospel like that, but actually the most effective ways of sharing the gospel are actually through relationship, through hospitality, building relationship, building friendships, and showing what Jesus is like. Being Jesus, being the light of the world. These 9 categories here, you could go into each of them and break them down, and there's a lot that could be said about each of them. But the purpose of them is that through them we learn to be spending time with Jesus and so become like him. Doing the things that he did. They create time and space for us to access the presence and the power of the Spirit and for us to be transformed from the inside out. They slow our lives down so that we can live deeply connected to God. There are many other things that you could treat as a spiritual discipline, but these are what you might call the classical disciplines. They're things that all people can do, regardless of time in history, regardless of age, regardless of culture. These are all things that we can give ourselves to. Let me be clear, these are not the definition of spirituality. Although, if you truly are following Jesus, seeking to be like him, they will show up in your life. they are not a measure of spiritual maturity. We see the example, don't we? Again, I've forgotten the scripture, where Jesus was talking about two men praying. One prays on the street corner for everybody to see. The other man felt wretched and worthless and said, God, I'm a sinner. One came so proud, making a display of his prayer. The other hid away in a secret place. Which one was justified? It was the one whose heart was right before God. Just because we see things outwardly, that's no measure of maturity. These practices, they are not the end in themselves. They are the means to an end. We take part in these things because of the effect they have in us. John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We read there in 1 Corinthians what love is like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Doesn't envy, doesn't boast, it's not proud. It protects. Love trusts, hopes, perseveres, rejoices in truth. It's really difficult to love, to be loving when you're stressed and when you're harried. I'm sure, he says, tongue in cheek, I'm sure those of you that have had children have never, never snapped at them, never got irritated with them for something that they haven't done, purely because you're stressed about something. And whatever minor niggle or annoyance, you've never responded out of turn, I'm sure. It's probably just me. But when we're stressed, it's really difficult to be loving. It's really difficult to be kind. And these disciplines, they help us to slow down, to stop, and to be like Jesus. You look at that list and you think, my word, how on earth am I going to fit all this into my life? I am already so busy. And we live in a culture that elevates busyness. But actually, when Jesus calls us to follow him, think about the disciples that we spoke about in the first week. They were fishing and he said, follow me. At once they left their boat, they left their nets, and they followed him. When we follow Jesus, sometimes there's stuff that we have to leave behind. You see, willpower can achieve a lot. We can achieve a lot by willpower. I am going to do this and I'm going to succeed and I'm going to make it. But that doesn't generate lasting change in us. Those moments of snapping when we don't mean to, willpower doesn't resolve that. But actually, as we learn to slow down and let these practices work in us at a deep level, that's when we begin to change. I can't remember when it was, but we started being more intentional about, as a family, having a Sabbath break. And it's easy. I'm sure you all also are busy. But just by way of example, not for any sense of pity, but just that's to say, this is my life and this is where I'm at now. But I have a full-time job. Working in the NHS. I am leading the church here. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm still renovating a house. These are all things that take time, responsibilities. And it's easy for me to go day, keep going. By the end of it, I'm just knackered.
And that then plays out in my relationships.
Yesterday, the sun was out, and the boys went off to play football over at Sandhurst. Joel and I went cycling in Hempstead Forest, just enjoying the sunshine. Candy was at home, and we were just resting, relaxing, enjoying the day. We got home, I finished our bike ride, collected the other boys from football, went home. Candy and I sat on the decking in the garden, cup of coffee, just enjoyed a cup of coffee in the sunshine. Part of my mind is thinking, I need to be getting on with the bedroom because the floor is all still up and it's just, you know, I'm walking across the joists in that room and just, I need to finish sorting out the electrics in that room. There's so much I need to do before I even think about finishing off all the upstairs in the kitchen and the flooring. I need to take time to rest. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Chapter 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and he made it holy because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Had God finished the entirety, everything that he was ever going to do at the end of the sixth day?
No. But he put a marker in and said, this is where it stops. And now rest.
For me, that Friday evening, closed the lid of my laptop.
Work has stopped. Now I rest.
We need to be intentional about rest. The word there, for those of you fluent in Hebrew,
something like that.
Shabbat literally means to cease, to desist, to stop your work, to take a break, to rest.
And that's the word that's used in this verse here in Genesis.
He rested. He Sabbathed. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it he rested.
Mark 27, Jesus said, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
The Sabbath is given to us for our benefit. It's not there to tie us down, to restrict us, but actually it's there to free us.
It was so ingrained into the Hebrew way of thinking that you think about our days of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we go again.
In Hebrew culture, first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, rest day.
Then we're back to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, rest. God invites us to enter a divine rhythm of ceasing from work, taking time to just be.
Maybe it's corny, but we are human beings, not human doings.
You know, we need to take time to be, not just to do. We need to take time to cease from our work, whatever that looks like, and dedicate time to God.
Taking a break, taking a rest,
Taking a Sabbath is a declaration that we trust in God's provision,
we trust in His timing,
not in our own work.
It's a declaration of freedom. Deuteronomy chapter 5, as the Israelites and all that came out with them came out of Egypt, they were freed from slavery. They were freed from the demands placed on them. It was in that context, as Moses was giving the law to the people again, he said, remember the Sabbath, because you were slaves.
But now you're free. Remember,
you break away from the tyranny.
It's a declaration of freedom from the demands of the world. It's a declaration
that we are free
to rest in God's grace and provision. How do we stop?
It's helpful to have rituals. It's helpful to have definite demarcations that say,
I have stopped.
I told you a little bit about our ritual at home. A meal, candles, prayer, thanking God for bringing us through the week, reminding us of what He's done for us. What have been the good things that have happened this week? We'll talk about what have been our highlights from the last week? What have been the things that we're celebrating and rejoicing? What are the things that God has done in us, for us, through us? We need to take time to connect with God. Spend time with others who follow Jesus. Unhurried time.
It's one thing having a flying dash, quick coffee, bolt it back. Okay, well, got to go, got this to do, got to do that.
No, no. Take time
to be with people.
What makes you come alive?
In God.
Is it a walk out in the woods? Is it time just sitting, contemplating with friends, family? Do things that you enjoy.
And keep at it.
It's hard sometimes to put a stop in our lives. It's easy to get caught up in the busyness of the culture. I've got to do, I've got to do, I've got to do, I've got to do.
I think it was Dallas Willard who talked about the need for a ruthless elimination of hurry in our lives.
We have to be ruthless sometimes to get rid of the stress, to slow down.
Go at the pace of Jesus. Questions there to think about over the week.
Those 9 practices, which practices have I engaged with? And what does that look like? How have I done that? As you think about that, maybe who would you say has most reflected God's love to you? And what did that look like? How was it? What was it about them? And then, does a Sabbath rest feature in my life? Does that break? Does that intentional stop? Do I? Or do I just carry on full tilt every day the same? Let me encourage you that again, with all of these, there may be a goal of where we think we want to be with each of these. But probably for all of us, we're not there yet. Where am I now? We start where we are. Little step.
Another little step.
Over time, we grow, we're shaped, we're formed to be like Jesus. Let's pray.
in the stillness of this moment. We offer the stillness of our being, our minds, our hands, our souls. That in the quiet of your love, we may again hear your whisper when you say to each of us, "You are my beloved."